magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Wednesday, November 25th, 2015, Thanksgiving Eve, everyone. Wow.
Is there such a thing? Yeah. You have to hang your stockings up and then somebody fills it full of turkey?
Yeah, that's right.
How does that work?
Oh, I don't know. Hey, speaking of turkey, it was great this past Sunday how your church had such a great Thanksgiving spread. Mm-hmm. This is like my favorite meal of the year. I love turkey, the mashed potatoes, all the fixing, the stuffings. Actually, all that dessert, doesn't entice me, because if I'm going to go back, it's going to be for more turkey and dressing and mashed potatoes.
For me, it's the stuffing. No other time of the year will anybody put any kind of, you know, passion into making stuffing. There's just something about Thanksgiving stuff. People pull out their A game, and I love stuffing. Like, I really love good stuffing. And so what I love about those luncheons is, like, there's like three or four, especially somebody, it always seems like if somebody finds out somebody's making something, that they make it too, and it becomes like a little war.
Yeah.
And I love that. I love it. So
that reminds me, I think it's a Facebook post going around. It's a turkey, and he's looking at a chicken, and he's handing him, like, the turkey mask, telling the chicken, hey, put this on. And in the background, there's somebody saying, happy Thanksgiving or something. And it's like, oh, I don't know. That's
we like the one with the blind farmer, and he's walking through the turkey coop, and he's got the axe, but he's blind. And all the turkeys are going, moo, moo.
Oh, no. I haven't seen that one.
Yeah. Pretty good.
Hey, I want to just thank you. I recognized you got here early and we did a lot of talking, but I should say I did a lot of, I don't know if you'd say purging or sharing, but Jason's like a confidant, provides great counsel and insight, and there's so many different things going on with the radio ministry, and I was updating Jason. We have a board meeting this next week, and I was talking about how God might lead in this area or this endeavor, or how to weigh this, or how do you put a price tag on this, or how do you evaluate various choices, or what kind of policies should be in place. And so I think probably for about 15 straight minutes, I was just sharing all that with you, and I'm thinking, as you were praying moments ago, I was like, wow, I feel like I've been talking a lot. And I realized I had been talking a lot. So I do appreciate your counsel. And Jason's just been such an integral part of this radio ministry. And as I many times pray through or think through or even present something to the board, it's already been filtered or talked about with Jason and some other friends. And we're just in exciting times. I was telling Jason, you know, as we plan this 20th birthday celebration and all those pieces are coming into place, there's a lot of other things that are being launched or worked through. As Monday night, many of you heard our announcement. We had our Great News Radio Theater troupe, and we worked on the script. There was like three different parts, or what do you call them? What's the thing? Scenes. Scene one, scene two, scene three. Mm-hmm. I'm getting to learn all that terminology. And and then somebody played, okay, you play King Herod this time in the read-through, and next time you're Simeon, and you're trying to evaluate. Mm-hmm. And then Kate Huey and I went into another room. Okay, who do you think was strongest in this part, and who should play this role? And it was really interesting to feel like, well, he had a real strong or passion or a deep voice. He that guttural sound, he'll be a good Herod. Mm-hmm. And we launched that on Monday, and so that was just like a very historic time in this radio ministry to see how God will lead. And their debut will be with the Singing Men on the 19th of next month. And we have the Christmas music starting this Friday. So that's kind of a transitional time for the ministry where we can reach the general public as they're looking for great Christmas music and can tune in. And as we've just talked about in the days ahead, if the Lord would lead us to have and acquire another studio or a location or a rallying point for the listeners to come to, and all that that would entail and how it would come together and different pieces that are maybe being put into place. And I don't know, just exciting times. This 20th year seems to be a bridge point into the future where God may take us. And on Tuesday, Dean Hull with Thrivent Financial, he was coming in and we were just talking about partnerships, and he's going to be a platinum sponsor for the event. And so financially, he's going to assist and help out. But he was saying, hey, Mark, does the radio ministry have a continuation plan? What happens if something goes on where you can no longer be a part of the ministry tomorrow or next week or in 5 years? Mm-hmm. And so a lot of different things that we have to think through and pray up, and who are we raising up? And What procedures do we have in place? And so we're just at a time where, Lord, how will you lead us and continue to allow us to serve the community and your kingdom? And so, I don't know. I'm just pretty energized with things going on. And like I said, the 30 straight minutes that I shared things with you, I can't wait to see what God's going to do next. And then tomorrow, Thanksgiving Day, oh, we're going to actually do something different this year. Holly was planning on having, I don't know, 20 or 30 of her Chinese friends over so they could understand what Thanksgiving is like in America. Some of her Chinese friends haven't been around a turkey dinner and all the fixins and given thanks. And so she sent out, and I got in a little trouble, and you'll maybe appreciate this. She sent out an email inviting these various couples and their families, and some of these Chinese friends have their parents in, so it'd be kind of a neat way to host them. And they didn't respond right away. And after 3 or 4 days, she said only one responded. And I'm like, oh, gosh, to clean the whole house, all the preparation and all the hard work you'd have to do, let's just find a restaurant. Let's just do something simple. And the only drawback is then you don't have all the fixins and the leftovers, which would kill me. But I wanted to make it simple. And that way, you know, she just got done with report cards. And, you know, most of the teachers, it's been a hard week or hard 10 days, all that preparation. Mm-hmm. So I said, just relax. Let's just go out to a favorite restaurant. And she goes, okay. Well, in the Chinese culture, like when you do an invite and then you just cancel, it's like, how could you do that? And the Chinese, they oftentimes don't even respond till like an hour out. Yeah, we're bringing six friends. We're coming now. that's like typical. It could just be a day out. They don't respond like Americans. Mm-hmm. You say RSVP, and if you don't, we're not going to expect you.
Right.
Well, the Chinese culture, it can be up to just a few hours before. So when she sent out this email that Mark has said, let's just go to a restaurant, a few of her friends said, well, we were planning on coming. And then some would say, how could you? And she said that they were kind of offended. And I'm like, really? And so she used me as, well, my husband's American, and he said nobody responded, so we canceled. And so
he doesn't know better.
So I think a few other Chinese couples are going to meet us at this restaurant now and join us. But we're going to just eat out, take it really easy. In fact, one of my pinnacle friends, that's what he and his family have done the last few years. They just thought, with all the rigmarole and the pressures of life, let's just go out and eat. Yep. And they go to the Cracker Barrel. I guess they have a Thanksgiving special. And he says, you know, we sit at that fireplace and enjoy it. And, you know, when we're done, we're done. There's no cleanup. There's no dishes. And we go to a movie afterwards.
Oh, so that sounds like a good idea.
We might try something like that. Oh. But certainly giving God thanks for the abilities to have a home, to have the ability to go out, to use resources and drive and enjoy it and enjoy the service or have the family here. But we're going to go out. So, wow. Here we are, day before Thanksgiving. Christmas music will start on Friday. Hustle and bustle of the season. Oh, yeah, Black Friday. I think we addressed that a bit last year.
Yeah, I don't think we had to talk. I don't even know if there is Black Friday anymore, per se, because, I mean, I've gotten all these emails all week about, come shopping now, don't go to Black Friday, we're going to have it on sale now. Yep. And so, I mean, I really don't know when Black Friday is, when it's not, although I did see some store that they're opening up at like 2 p.m. on Thanksgiving tomorrow to start shopping, and I don't know. That thing is just out of control for me. I mean, there's nothing that I really want. And the kicker is that most of this stuff, if we're really honest, is going to be on sale afterwards.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's on sale already, because they have to drive this dollars, try and get themselves to Christmas and have made this money. Yeah, I don't know. I'm just kind of like, ugh.
Yeah. I think there was a Facebook post that went out that listed like 14 or 16 businesses that were going to be open on Thanksgiving.
Hey, let's just be honest. Yesterday I had to go pick up some bread and different things at the IGA, and there was a flyer in my bag for the IGA Black Friday sale. And I love the IGA, I love Brooks and all those guys over there, but I just had to chuckle, like, oh yeah, I've been wanting to get your Rice Krispies for Christmas, so thank goodness. I mean, there's some great deals in there, don't get me wrong. In fact, they had listed on there, like, their salad bar on Black Friday is all you can eat for $2.99.
Wow.
I know, I thought, like, gosh, if you're a you go in there and just go to town.
Yes.
I mean, there was some stuff that were really good, but it made me laugh because it made me think that everybody's in this thing.
Everyone's on board.
Everybody's in this boat trying to paddle upstream, and I don't know. I'm not, and I haven't been. Although, I don't want to be deemed a hypocrite. But we do need tires for our car, and there has been a discussion about one of us being the sacrificial lamb to go out and get tires on Black Friday, because there is some amazing deal where you get two tires for free. And, you know, so I don't know if that counts, because I'll sit in the tire place and I'll just wait while they put the tires on the car. And
well, my recommendation is be well fed before you go, because the lines are going to be long. You're going to be aggravated. The parking's going to be a nightmare. You're going to be on edge. And so be well rested, everyone. Get a good meal in your body. And
although,
be tolerant.
You know, I've heard of a lot of different ministries that are going to be out ministering to people, handing out donuts, handing out cookies, handing out coffee. In fact, one of them I was talking to, I really loved the idea. It was a paraminister. I can't remember the name of them now, but they have trays, and they're going to walk around the parking lots of like Target and that with trays with hot coffee or hot cocoa, and they're just going to hand it out. Right. And it's just a way to be loving to people, and that to show people that Christians are not hypocritical, Christians are not hateful, Christians are not all that, that we want to love you. We're not really into all this craziness, but we want to help you get through the craziness maybe a little better. And I thought that was such a neat thing. In fact, we'll probably do something like that as a church and as a community of faith next year, because I really think that there's a ministry and a mission field. I mean, when people are out there, and I don't know how that'll affect people, but you know, I'm just convinced that the gospel needs to be preached. It needs to be preached definitely by words. I mean, I don't subscribe to this idea that we preach the gospel and sometimes we use words. We need to use words, but we also need to show with our actions that those words are true, that we believe, you know, that Jesus redeemed us in such a way that we won't be in line trying to buy the stuff, but we'll be near the line trying to serve those who are doing it. And maybe somehow show them love that they can't quite understand. They can't quite fathom. Why is this the way it is? And so,
The season gets co-opted by the commercialization and the merchandising. And I think of like an example, and that's a really good one. You know, people are all aggravated. The airline is delayed and people are getting upset and angry. And then somebody goes to one of the snack shops and buys pop for everyone. And suddenly everyone's temperament and disposition changes. And, you know, for $100 or whatever, all these people are like, why did he do that? And he can shine his light. Well, I think in the same way, these people in the parking lot, people are busy and I got to get into the sale, or they're angry or upset, and there's somebody with a tender word or a comforting smile, and here's a cup of coffee, Merry Christmas. It causes pause, and then maybe however the Spirit would work through that situation, it recalibrates them or the environment. It's like, you know, really, let's slow down. Let's spend some time with family.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you know what? And here's the danger, I think, of Christianity as maybe in the West we portray it. The danger is that we would totally detach ourselves from any of it. We'd be like, well, I'm not going to go do that, and I'm not doing that. I mean, I'll go get tires. I don't have a problem. I don't want to go out and try and bust through these lines and do all that kind of stuff, because I know that brings out the worst in me, because my patience gets thin. I'm already bringing five people with me. You know, I mean, I'm already, you know, what was it? Two's company, three's a crowd, five is a bad choice. So I'm already bringing my own ability to frustrate with me, and so I don't need to heap in there. I just know my own limitations. But if we read the Bible, most of the life change in the Bible doesn't happen in the temple. Very little of it happens in the temple. In the book of Acts, it happens outside the gates, the beautiful gate, going into the temple. I mean, very little life change in the Bible happens in the temple. And why is that? Because Jesus is meeting people, and Jesus people are meeting people in the places where they are. Jesus would come to where you were. I mean, Jesus crossed over to the other side. He went where they were. Why? Well, Ephesians 2 tells us that far and near, and all of us had access to the Father through one Spirit, that Jesus travels whatever distances it is to see us. And so then, as Jesus' people who are compelled, Christ compels us, we'd be compelled to go to those places. But in those places, we would be governed by the Spirit. My real conviction and question for those people who are maybe listening right now is, when you are out on Black Friday, are you portraying the best of Christ? Or is there not really a lot of difference between you and the other guys?
Yeah, would you be convicted of being a Christian by your actions and your temperament and who you are, right?
I mean, you can't hit somebody so you can get the TV before them and then say, well, I'm going to pray for you now. Let me pray for your healing. I mean, you can't, and I use that, I'm joking, but you have to be when you're out, we want to be grace-fueled. We want to be governed by grace, living in light of that grace, affording that grace. You know, as crazy as it would be, maybe you're in line, and it's a crazy line, and you've waited in line for an hour, and the woman behind you has two things, and you have 20, and you say, you want to go ahead? You know, it's going to take me 5 more minutes in line, not a big deal. I mean, what can we do that we can embody the people of Christ, so we can offer grace in a space that, if we're honest, after Black Friday, what are we all going to do? We're all going to go to the news sites and we're going to watch those videos where people got silly and the doors popped open and they trampled a bunch of their friends. I mean, some guy arrived on Black Friday hoping to buy the TV or hoping to buy his kids the My Pretty Pony or whatever it was, and he got trampled. And he got trampled because a bunch of people thought that instead of loving their brother, it was more important to get what they wanted, what they believe they deserve, what they will ultimately throw away within the year. They won't work anymore. It's worthless. It is worthless. We give ourselves up to so many worthless things. You know, I was thinking about this, and I don't want to, you know, I don't want to poke too many people's idols today, but I was thinking about this the other day. You know, I love to go to the Illini games. I'd love it more if they would win a little more often. Yeah. But I think they've been doing really well. I really am feeling good about the program right now. I really am, actually. I think there's some really positive things. It looks like we want to play football and not mess around the other ways. But I go to the game, you know, and I order the tickets, and sometimes people give me tickets, and you know, we always have to park way down by the where they do the technology stuff down there. So we walk a few miles to get there, and you know, we don't have a lot of money to spend on tickets, so we sit in the tall seats way up top. You know, we're either
nosebleed.
Yeah, we're either the wind is blowing really hard, or we're getting fried by the sun. You know, and those seats, we're sitting with other people, sometimes are very obnoxious. But we're up there in the tall seats, and we've walked a long way, and we've done all that. And you know what? Listen to me. If Illini doesn't win the game, I don't yell down to Coach Cubitt and say, I want my money back. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't come out in the middle of halftime and go, you know, I'm really sorry things didn't go the way it was supposed to go. I want to offer a refund to everybody. No, you know what? He's down there on that 50-yard line, and his job is to win. You know, and he's trying to do that. But his job is to win. And listen to me. That's just in the grand scheme of things. That's just a stupid game. But I wonder if we as Christians had that same kind of... He's not looking around that field and trying to figure out how he can apologize to everybody in that stadium. He's trying to figure out how he can get those guys on the field into that end zone so they can do and accomplish the mission that they came to do. The mission for which they were sent, the mandate that was given to them by the athletic program, which was to try their darndest to win a game. And Christ has given us that same kind of mandate, that mandate that we would win souls to the gospel, that we would go out fueled by grace, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, and all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me and conferred upon you. And you know what? We spend so much time as the church apologizing to everybody, and we don't have to. What we have to do is keep our eyes fixed on the goal. And you know what? The goal is when you're walking around. The goal is Christ, by the way. The goal is not the people. But when your goal is Christ, you see the people differently. Mm-hmm. And so suddenly it's not about, can I get that TV before that person gets the TV? Now it's about, you know what? Maybe I don't need the TV and I'll help that guy put it in his cart. I mean, I don't know. I don't know in the moment how it plays it out. And I'm not going to tell you that I'm perfect at doing it because I'm human and I like stuff just like the rest of you guys like stuff. But I want Christ to compel me. I really do. More than I can being compelled by myself. And I believe with all my heart that we can do that. I mean, let's give thanks to something greater. I mean, I love that you said that, Martin, you know, turkey and stuffing, and I love all that stuff. And I love even more that this year we're not doing a darn thing. We're walking down the street to our neighbor's house, and they're going to do it all for us. I love that. But as thankful as I am for all of that, I want to give thanks in an even greater way, to give back what has been given to me. I mean, when you think about what Christ did on our behalf, I don't even know how you give thanks into that. But I want to do it, and I want to do it by loving people well, and I want to do it by showing them the gospel, by helping them to see God's grace, seeing God's grace in such a way that that's over and above the way they even see themselves. You know, I was convicted. I shared it, I think, in Sunday's message at our church. But all throughout the Bible, God keeps saying to his people, he keeps saying to them, he says, you're idolatrous. You're horrible. You're absolutely off the rails. I should divorce you. I should kill you. Judgment should fall upon you. And then he says, but if you turn back to me, if you come back. God is always telling us the truth about our condition. But then God says, if you come back to me. And that's how God sees people. Mm-hmm. And I wonder if that's how we'll see will we see the broken as not as broken, but in need of redemption, instead of just seeing them broken. And I think oftentimes what we do is we just see broken people and go, it sucks to be broken. But you know what? That's not, as Christians, that's not the message we come with. We don't come with, it sucks to be broken. We come with, it's awesome to be saved. Mm-hmm. And it does stink that you're broken. But you know what? It's okay to not be okay, but it's not okay to stay that way. That's the message of Christianity. It's not okay to stay that way. Why? Because Christ came. And because Christ came, that invitation that you are this and you are this and you are this, but if you come back to me. And you know what? I don't know about you, but I think that we could be some lights on Black Friday. Mm. I think we could really be some lights on Black Friday. Mm.
I'm trying to find that song, "That Christ Compels Me," and I would pray and hope and desire that all of us would be compelled to serve him and take that serving him and reveling in his goodness and his love to give thanks tomorrow, thanks today, thanks every moment that we have the life breath in us that he's given us, that he's gifted us with, so that we can bring him glory and praise. And so we pray you'd have a happy Thanksgiving, that you would carry that spirit of serving others with you throughout the day, throughout the week, into the weekend, and that you would allow Christ's love to compel you to do great things for him. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.
Your love compels me, Lord, to give as you would give, to speak as you would speak, to live as you would live. Your love compels me, Lord, to see as you would see, to serve as you would serve, to